You're listening to the Cultural Hall Podcast with your hosts, Richie T. Stedman and Lauren Johnson. It's a podcast about Mormon stuff.
Nephi! Emma! Samuel! Do you stand at the live righteously?
That's right. It is another episode of the Cultural Hall, episode 7. And thank you so much for joining us. As always, it's myself, Richie T. and
Lauren Johnson.
And I'll get right to that. I got an email real quick.
Oh, boy.
This is from Paul. White is his name. He says, I think you and Laura, and we'll get into the rest of that later. So her name is Lauren. Lauren Johnson and myself.
No, I'll keep reading this later.
Oh, no, I'll read the rest of it. Had a great week, you know, an amazing response to everyone who checked out the podcast last week, episode 6 with Peter Breinholt. Remember, you can check out theculturalhall.com and you can see him do a call I hear here in the Cultural Hall with us. That video is now available. You can check it out. If you go on the website to where it says videos, right, where you see the videos, you just click on it. And then you can see the video of Peter Breinholt.
And then you watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy
it's there.
Crazy how that works.
I haven't put it up on Facebook yet, but go to theculturalhall.com and check that out. Also, encourage your friends, if you aren't already following us on Twitter, to do that. That's at The Cultural Hall. And then, of course, on Facebook, The Cultural Hall. Pretty exciting episode of The Cultural Hall today. I'll say this. We had plans to have the band Fictionist.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone magazine, and they lost that competition. They're a band out of Provo, who just recently got signed with Atlantic Records.
So exciting.
And they were going to be here with us today. They unfortunately weren't able to. We kind of held out a little bit long for them to see if we could get it figured out. And so that left us with no guest today. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For behold, Rob is with you.
Rob Ferry.
Yeah. For the purposes of this podcast, with him being a 31-year-old single person, we'll call him Rob Ferry.
I'm so glad I'm not in his shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, right? We're actually going to get into that today. I teased this only briefly in last week's episode of The Cultural Hall. I am going to give you tips, Lauren Johnson, and now you, Rob Ferry.
Can I talk now?
Yeah, you bet.
Because that's what married people do, even though – how old were you when you got married?
I was 30.
30.
All right.
So once someone gets married, they think they have it all figured out and they're ready to give us single people advice. And I am excited to hear it.
I have it more.
Because maybe you do have some great advice.
I do. So listen up. I want give a little bit of introduction about Rob. Rob is a Rob and I met in college at Southern Utah University.
Yep, 2001.
And I don't even remember where it was that we met.
First time we met, it was a welcome back activity for the SEU Presidential Ambassadors.
Which was a group that gave tours to kids coming down to check out SUU.
Yeah. And since you two are both so modest and you likely won't bring it up, I'll let you know that both of you were royalty at this college, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I was by default, and Rob actually won.
Yeah, I was Mr. SUU 2002.
And I think I was Mr.
Or 2003, I think.
Oh, the glory days.
Yes, the glory days. Yeah, and you were runner-up.
Yeah, I was runner-up, and then we didn't do it the next year.
And then, so you were the...
So then I had to take the role of Mr. SUU.
For another year.
For another
what
year.
What do you mean you didn't do it next year? Did you guys plan this event?
They didn't have a pageant.
Yeah, no, they didn't have a pageant, so there wasn't another runner-up, so
was
first attendance.
Was there a swimsuit competition?
No, there was a talent competition. And Richie T., if there's any video of it anywhere, I wish I could find it, if we could post it. He did a dance. It was a
modern dance.
Modern dance, interpretive dance with tights and flaming.
I had things of fabric coming off of my arms and off of my knees, and I got one of those big industrial size fans, just huge fans.
Yeah.
So that the little tussle things
and
would be flowing.
And you were only runner up. What did you do?
Well, I have adopted this magic show that was introduced to me by a show called The Farley Family Reunion. And it was done by James Arrington.
Polish
magic show, yes. The Polish magic show. You should get him on the show, James Arrington. He's a very funny guy. He does a show called Farley Family Reunion. It's a one-man show. And I saw it as a kid, and he does this terrible magic show with fingers. You know, just like fake finger tricks and stuff like that. And like, you know, all those type of things. And I did this magic show for about, since fifth grade. And so that was my talent, and everybody loved it. They ate it up. And plus, one of my roommates was one of the judges, so that kind of helped me out.
And I have happened to see this.
Yeah. And
this
I did it in
magic
high school.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to high school.
Yeah, there, I was going to say the other side of that history, because Lauren and I can't know separate people. We have to know everyone, you know. All of our worlds have to collide somehow.
Yes.
And didn't I introduce you guys together?
Yeah, I think you did do that.
I was kind of a part of that, right?
You guys were throwing the summer barbecue that I went to, the single mingle that I
right.
showed up at.
And then we have to go back a little bit further is Stacy, who he had on their first podcast. Richie T was dating Stacy at the time, and
kinda.
He was dating Lauren at the time.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, going out, we'll say. Not dating, just
well, kissing,
going out.
Sure.
Sure,
but.
Those things. And so they had a mutual friend.
No comment.
who had a mutual friend who put the two together. They said, yeah, I'm seeing this guy named Richie T. Like, Richie T? And then she talked to Lauren. Is this the same Richie T? And then she talked to Stacy, and then she put two and two together, and then it all came together.
Sure enough, it was.
Wait, I'm confused.
Don't you remember
this? I
don't
think I was
this?
A part of the story.
Yes, you were.
No, because I met Richie actually before you met Stacy, and I think I was a part of introducing Richie to Stacy.
Let's just say this. I probably was kissing someone else. If it wasn't Stacy,
well,
I probably
a few people. That's yeah. that's why I ended it over the phone, and then you said I broke up with you over the phone, and I was like, no breakup needed.
No,
if
no,
you're
no,
kissing
no.
other people, there's not such thing as a breakup. And we're gonna edit all this, right?
No, no. You know what? All right, I found the text. It's this is from a friend of mine, James. He says, it's funny that in every episode of the Cultural Hall, you have a we'll edit this out moment. That you don't edit out.
I wonder if that was one of them.
Yeah, that right there. Oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and edit that out, says the one who has nothing to do with editing it, Lauren. Oh, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and put special effects underneath that, and we'll get the guy who does music and the spoken word to do the introduction on that, right?
I look at you when I say that, because I look for a nod, and Richie confirms with his nod, sure, you know, yes, we're going to. And a lot of times it is you that says, we're going to edit it out.
Sure.
So, edit.
No.
Richie is our editor. All editing complaints go to Richie.
Yeah, you can just send it to put it on our Facebook
wall.
I wish
I could
edit. If you have a Facebook complaint, just post it there. But I will tell you this: there will be a lot of times where we'll go, we'll edit that out, and we won't really edit it out because it was funny.
Really? So
yeah.
I guess we could be on the same page now, because I think of when we'll edit it out that you really will. Like this right now.
So you think when I'm going to actually say that I'm going to do something that I'm actually going to do it.
Which is weird, right?
Right.
Because I should have learned
a long time ago. Another bit of feedback, since I guess that's kind of where we started to go. And then we'll get into how I'm going to get you guys married. That's why we've invited Rob on the show.
Oh, exciting.
That's why Lauren is sitting anxiously. She's ready. She's got a notepad and paper in her trapper keeper. Which weirdly has Lauren
blanket.
Johnson plus blank in a heart on the front of her trapper keeper, which is just sad. This one, this is from a friend of the podcast. Says, your interviews are continuing to be great, and the news at the end is some great banter of silliness. However, I think you should find some time to do what you did in the first episode. Just a conversation between you and Lauren talking frankly about an LDS culture topic from
Ooh.
Personal experiences. Your single adult points of view were engaging. I'm married. Obviously, I don't... he says, obviously, I don't offer how to do this because an hour barely affords enough time for a great interview and these things, but that's my opinion. And he writes, holding your hand on the back row. So that's
cute.
Yeah.
Cute.
And
he's drawing circles
scratching
on your back.
Your back.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to send
writing,
you.
I love you on your back.
I'm going to give you a little message, see what I can say. Will you marry me? I've always wanted someone to be proposed to that way.
I proposed to her by riding on her back.
In the sacrament meeting. And then have it be testimony meeting so that they can go up and tell everyone what just happened.
And I said, here, let me write something on your back. Why? She runs out of the thing.
Whoa. My heart was beating out of my chest.
Of all the things I've seen at testimony meeting, I'm kind of surprised I haven't seen that.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen at a testimony meeting?
Speaking in tongues and then...
Really speaking in tongues?
And then a gay... someone that was gay coming out of the closet.
Wow.
But when you say speaking in tongues, what do you mean?
Someone went up and spoke in jumbled,
incoherent speak.
And then the bishop stood up and said, can anyone interpret?
Was that on your mission?
Yes.
Okay.
Which was in the far-off land of Ohio.
Whoa.
Ohio. It means morning in Japanese. It does.
I just recently saw this. This is the fresh on my mind. I've been regulated to the mid-singles ward now.
Yeah.
And
you've been
very modest with my age. I'm actually 32.
Oh, I thought you were only 31.
Yeah.
Yep, he graduated a year before me.
Yeah. My birthday's in a month, so I'm an old maid. Anyway, so
yeah,
this guy.
Too bad.
Quiet, you. Let him tell his story.
He gets up and he's like, this is my last Sunday because I'm getting too old for this ward. The guy looked like Roddy Piper, in my opinion, the old wrestler. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, he kind of looked like that. And he gets up and he's like, you know, I really had a good time in this ward, but, you know, none of you girls asked me out. And I'm really sad about that. None of you guys were nice to me. And I'm a really good guy. And it was just like awkward, you know.
So that was your interesting.
That recently happened like a month or so ago. So it was very awkward.
Mine actually happened in the same sacrament meeting. Two whoppers.
Oh, you were at
no,
this
no, no, not
oh,
in his sacrament
two
meeting.
In the same.
But two in the same sacrament meeting.
Oh, and
meeting.
I just thought of another one. But Kate, keep and, going.
So this is how this went. This was also in Cleveland. This was in the west side of Cleveland ward. This was on the mission. We had finally, this area was not very good about being able to get people to come to church, right?
Right.
It was hard. It was not only hard, it was probably the hardest area on my mission. So finally, we had this woman by the name of Kathleen. She said, yes, I'll come to church. We said, awesome. Well, we'll have to have someone come get you because she lived on the far end and you had to take the CTA there and it was just a mess. And so we're like, yes, she's finally there. So we're sitting down in sacrament meeting, and this one guy gets up. This is a testimony. That's fine. He sits down. Then another guy comes up. I don't know why I told you about the first guy. He gets up and says, you know, I just want to bear my testimony. My little brother is going on a mission, and I couldn't be more proud. My little brother is going on a mission. And, Dad, you've got to forgive me for not going on a mission. I wanted to go on a mission, but I couldn't because of the choices I had made. I can't go on a mission, and you've got to forgive me for it. You have to forgive me. Sits down.
Wow.
And everyone was like, okay, right, I get it. Right? That's a lot of emotion. A parent has expectations for a child, and, you know, maybe the dad hadn't dealt with it that great. But you're just like, okay, all right. A lot of emotion. Let's move on. Next person gets up, and their testimony is, you know, just, you know, simple, just a simple, pure testimony. And then the next person gets up, who is a bounty hunter. He's a big, burly.
Oh, he's like Dog.
Yeah, he's like Dog, only bald.
Oh, okay.
He's just a big. He's a big brute.
That's
of
a big
man,
difference.
Right? Yeah. So nothing like Dog.
No power mullet.
But no, he did. Oh, he had a goatee, a big, burly goatee. Right. That's what it was. And, you know, kind of a redheaded guy. That doesn't matter. But
packing at church.
He did. He would bring his gun to church. And so he said, you know, he got up and he at this point had only been reactivated for about a year. And he gets up and he's like, you know what? I just wanted to let you know that I know this church is true. But there's a lot of you who have a lot of curse problems.
Wow.
And I look over at the woman that we brought to church, and we're like, let's just take it outside.
Was that a celestial swear?
It was top tier.
Okay,
it was a top tier celestial swear that guy dropped from the pulpit. And the bishop, poor guy, is like, he kind of goes up to you know, get him down.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're helping the investigator out of there. And it's like, okay, let's just go. Let's just go in the hallway. We get the person out in the hallway. And we're like, listen, it's not normally like this. There's a lot of emotion today. We apologize. I don't, you know, oops. You know, people aren't perfect. She ended up getting baptized, but man, I could not believe.
Maybe she felt comfortable after that.
Yeah.
She felt the
She's
spirit.
She's like, hey, you know what? I can be who I am in this sport.
There you go.
I have a couple others. Well, one of them was my own brother, and I was sitting on the bench with him. I was Luckily, my friend was there, and she held my hand through the whole thing. But he stood up, and first thing he said was, there's this. And I won't tell, I'll spare the details, but he said, there's
actually,
this.
Actually, I kind of wanted the details, but I know you're going to spare the details.
There's this TV show. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Arrested Development. Well, my family is a lot like it.
Oh, no.
As many of you know, he went into some family issues and then said, you know, and Lauren here points to me. He's at the, she lives off my dad's income and can't keep a job. And then.
Oh, that's nice.
The person, the first counselor of the bishopric had actually hired me that week. So he's listening to this. And then someone gave him this weird look and he said, oh, so sister so-and-so, pointed her out, is giving me a weird look. And then went on to explain how he had commitment issues.
Oh, my gosh.
And how my mom, I'll spare you that deal for my mom's sake.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a good one.
Jeez.
What was going on with your brother that day? That is odd.
See, there's that question, and then how many jobs ago was that? That was the other question
that
I had.
How many what?
How many jobs ago was that?
Let me count. One, two, three.
Yay!
One, two,
No, don't.
Three.
It just makes me sad. Don't keep counting. Don't keep counting.
So, okay, I got one more. This is told from a friend of a friend kind of a thing. This guy was down in Texas on his mission, and this guy gets up. And he's like, gets up to the pulpit and he starts nodding his head and he's like, and then he just goes, the law of chastity. Oh, it's hard to live the law of chastity. Last night, while I was in my bed, I wasn't living the law of chastity. And everybody's like, whoa. And that's the extent of what I know of the testimony, but I just love the part, the law of chastity. It's hard to live in the law of chastity.
That is creepy.
Yeah.
I love it. If you have a story that you would like to share with us or have people share about Weird Testimony Meetings, go ahead and send them to us. I think probably the best email at this point, either you can post it on the comments on theculturalhall.com that accompany this podcast. That might be the best place for right now as we still work out getting an email address otherwise. So go ahead and leave your stories there, and if we like your story, maybe we'll share it here in the future. A couple other things of feedback before we move on from all of that. Got this from someone who listens to the podcast named Chow, is her name.
Chow.
And she writes a couple of things. She says, episode 4, not my favorite. But it was interesting. That was John DeLynn.
Okay.
Said, but it was interesting and educational. I had no idea who John DeLynn was or what his influence was on the Mormon blogging world. So then I kind of asked her a little bit more about it. And she says, yeah, for about the first half of it, I really enjoyed it. I thought about sharing it with a few of my friends who aren't members anymore. But near the end, he said some stuff that I wouldn't want them to hear from my recommendation. And so then, I ask her a little bit more, and she says, well, I like the other two, the Kirby Hayborn and the Jenna Kim Jones episode. In fact, she says, I think I used some stuff that was said in the Hayborn episode for some advice to a recent convert. So
very cool.
Keep up the good work, she says. So that's, that was a pretty positive comment.
That's really cool.
I got to go.
Makes me think of all the stories we just told.
Oh, they're perfectly fine stories. And I want to get into that because that's why I brought any of these up.
Okay.
I just saw the Kirby commercial just the other night, just thinking about that. And I really enjoyed that episode too.
All right. So here we go. Here's the other comment. It says, this is on theculturalhall.com. Again, after each of these episodes, there's a place for comments. And thank you to everyone who's done that so far. Looks like Brian K is a huge fan of making comments on this
The first three.
Oh yes, are him.
I saw his.
JR is who this person is. Says, I have to admit, speaking about the John DeLynn episode, I have to admit that this has been my least favorite episode thus far. Huh. While other episodes have been entertaining, informative, and even uplifting, this one was different. I felt like this episode was trying to challenge or to damage my testimony instead of adding to it. This episode, it's upset me at times, and after it was over, I just felt frustrated. There were a number of things which John DeLynn said that I just didn't agree with. Maybe you two didn't agree with him either, but you never really challenged him or questioned his facts and opinions. I guess I expected this podcast to be a safe place. Where I didn't have to worry about the philosophies of the world seeping into the doctor. However, this episode made me realize that I'll have to keep my guard up even in the cultural hall, just in case. I'm glad, however, to hear that he let you have the URL, the cultural hall. So I want to say this about that, and I haven't asked Lauren as far as her feeling goes, but at no point do I want anyone to just kind of accept what we're saying as any sort of truth or not truth, or anyone to say, oh yeah, well, I heard it on the cultural hall, so it has to be right.
Absolutely,
or it has to
agree.
Be wrong, or anything like that. In fact, the very nature of this is just an opportunity, I think, for us to find out about people who are more Mormon, people who you know, are experiencing being Mormon and being a musician and being an actor and being an entertainer or a writer, or a, you know, happen to have a life situation that you know, has made them a better person, or has made them who they are, and how their Mormonism plays into that.
And everyone has a story, and it's every person's is different.
Yep, and everyone has a path that they take. So what I'll say to that, and what I'll say again in the future, I'm sure, is, you know, we present it, take what you like, and leave the rest behind. And we hope to provide you with more of the stuff that you like, so that you're not leaving everything behind, but that you will continue to like the Cultural Hall podcast.
Absolutely. And as far as Richie and I go, we're two both very active LDS members.
Yeah, I run like every day, and I'm lifting weights. So there's – oh, you meant
– if you saw him, you wouldn't believe it. Yeah. But.
Sad. Actively attending church, yes.
Correct, yes. And no matter the view of our guests, we're willing and interested in hearing their story, whatever that might be.
And as you know, I feel like in a couple of weeks, if we had the opportunity to interview John DeLynn in a couple of weeks, we certainly would be better
asking
skilled at
that.
Being able to talk to him and some things like that. So you're growing along with us, and we appreciate you doing that. Coming back in the second block, don't distract me. We're going to get you two married.
Ooh.
Thanks to the cultural hall.
All right.
Do you have a priest coming in?
He's got the bishop.
Does your Utah business need help navigating the social media landscape? Contact Moz Concepts for help developing Facebook applications, custom websites, and building your social media fan base. Visit Moz Concepts online at mozconcepts.com. That's mozconcepts.com.
All right, we're back with the cultural hall. Coming up in the third break, in the third block, I should say, I got some pretty interesting things. I just want to tease this a little bit. Kind of a creepy LDS book I saw online.
Really?
I think that the idea is awesome. I think the picture is a little creepy. So
wait,
you can see what this
it
is.
It was a book about being LDS or by an LDS author?
It is a book available at Deseret Book.
Okay.
Ooh.
And I think the idea is great. I know the story behind it. I think
execution.
I think the execution could have been a little bit better. Also, we're going to talk about the U of U. Where's their Mormon fraternity? We'll get into that.
Oh.
We got to talk about a Mormon fashion show.
Oh, yeah.
A bishop of the church who got drugged 10 feet by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Good Samaritan act there. And we'll probably get into a little bit about what happens when you're not a Mormon anymore. Some activities you can find yourself getting into. So let's talk about this right now. This is available through LDSLiving.com, where we get, you know, a considerable amount of stories. And this is for you, Rob Foray.
Yes. What is it?
And for you, Lauren Johnson, an online dating guide for LDS people.
Really? Ah. So where'd you get this?
I got this from LDS Living, which I just said seconds
ago. And
who
was it written by?
Brianna Stewart, maybe that's your future eternal companion calling right there, is it? No, is it your past
it
eternal companion?
Be. I don't recognize the number.
Hey, you want to get it? You never know when fate strikes you, right? Marriage,
good.
Boom, my ears are burning. All right, so online dating.
Who was it written by?
Brianna Stewart.
And has she been married since she was 18?
Brianna Stewart does not have a bio about herself here.
Okay, well, let's hear.
I'm trying to see if she has credibility.
Right, exactly.
Let me ask both of you this.
Where is her expertise?
Rob, 32, single, lives here in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
I decided in the third block before we go, I'm going to make you do the Polish Magic Show for a video for our website.
Oh, okay.
All right? Well, so people can see that. Okay. I know you probably need some other things. We'll find those things so you can do that. All right, so.
Polish Magic Show lives on.
Well, there's a link, too.
To you doing it?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Then we'll just link it. I don't need you to do it again.
No.
All right. Online dating guide. Yep, I've got ADD today. Brianna Stewart. Rob, 32. Lauren, 31.
Uh-huh. And a half.
And a half. Ooh, boy. online dating. Have you guys done it? First of all, let's...
Yes.
I've been out with someone I met online.
And Rob, your experience with it.
Well, you know, there's so many different sites out there. I've done Match.com, and that was okay, but it's not LDS-centered. Right. I also, for a while back in the day, was on Hot Saints.
Sure, so was I.
Woo!
Did you have to pre-qualify for that one?
Yeah, you had to have a ranking. No, I'm just kidding. That one was more like the meat market, really. Hot Saints was
I don't know why that would be.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it wasn't mediocre Saints. Yeah, it's Miss Saints.
Yeah, I missed that whole boat. I didn't hear about that.
And then there's LDS Planet. There's so many different ones out there, and they're just odd. And then the other one is Facebook for LDS, which is LDS Link Up. Now, I've never gone out with a girl on LDS Link Up, but I've had friends who are patrolling that website, find girls, look at their profile, kind of ask them a question about their profile, and then they get dates out of it. So, but nothing too successful, and you meet a lot of weirdos, not saying divorcees are weirdos, but a lot of divorcees.
Divorcees.
Yeah.
Weird.
But, you
just
know.
Just kidding. That was a joke.
I get you. Okay, Lauren?
None of those. It's the only Facebook and LDS Link Up. Speaking of Link Up, I've gone out with people I've met on both of those. Link Up, I was a member of before Facebook, when it really was just connecting and less dating.
Right.
It has totally evolved into a dating site. And so I'm on there, and every once in a while when I'm feeling proactive and that whole, you know, faith with that works as dead thing.
Is it proactive
we'll
that
get
you're
on
feeling?
There. And then all you do is just log on, and then people will check and see who's online, and you get like 10 people emailing you and...
Hey.
About 10 minutes, and
well,
you sort through
that's what happens to the girls, though.
Yeah.
I don't get online. Hey, this guy looks like fun.
I just get on. I'm like, I need a date this weekend. Okay, log into the Link Up, and then just watch.
Is it that for sure for you? You can just log in and get a date?
Yeah, not. I wouldn't go out with any of them that write me. But yeah, I mean, you get a lot of... There's a lot of people on there. It's random. And all they do is just search girls online. If you look semi-normal, they'll write you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, about 20.
Rob's like, yeah, I write every storm is semi-normal.
I lick all the girls who are online. Yeah.
One can get about 20, or a female, get about 20 emails as soon as they just log on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, nope. Yeah, yes for that one. Okay.
Creepy.
And I think all of them, except for one, have been weird. I haven't gone out with that many, though. All of them but one. I know a few people that have met spouses on there.
Yeah, I've done weddings. Speaking of weddings, that's what I do for a living. Is
lifeoftheparty.com.
Yes, I DJ weddings, and I DJed your wedding, Richie.
That's true.
Or high school reunions. You DJed my high school reunion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah.
And we recommend him. The Cultural Hall gives a clink. That's a like.
Wow, I can put that on my profile. Recommended by the Cultural Hall.
I'll give you a better quote than that so you can tag it. The Cultural Hall says, Rob is the greatest wedding DJ ever.
Yeah, and I've done weddings where I always like to find out where my clients have met. You know, like, oh, we've been dating for so and so years. I get a lot of Match.com weddings. And a couple months ago, I had two Mormon people, Match.com. One lived in Chicago and one lived in Utah.
Wow.
And they made it happen. And so.
Very cool.
And they got married here in Utah. And that was like, wow, success story. So it does happen. Once in a while.
Yeah.
But
the two women that I know that met their husbands online, they kind of did this together. It was really cool. And And they're both incredible, successful, beautiful women. And one of them decided, you know, I just realized, she was in her mid-30s, that I was going to have to make it a part-time job to find someone. And I then made a list of things I wanted, and I got on LDS LinkUp every night and made sure that I wrote 5 guys that looked interesting. And she did that. She met her husband. She went on a lot of awful dates, too. And
that's
then the other girl wrote an Excel list of everything that she wanted in a guy, including things that people would consider vain, like, I want him to have a foreign accent. And she met him in Scotland. He's here now.
Wow.
One of her checklist things was she wanted him to have a foreign accent?
Yeah, hey, everyone has their needs and wants. And if you have a need for a foreign accent, then...
Well, there you go.
Make it happen online.
Hang on one sec. And, you know, my wife and I, we met online, though not like this. She wants to make sure that I'm very clear.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
We met on Facebook, and people go, how did you meet on Facebook? What happened was, is I guess at some point, her and I both RSVP'd to a party, and I didn't meet her at that party, but one of her friends logged into her Facebook and said, oh, yeah, all these people were at their party. Let's send friend requests. And I accept everyone who friends me, Richie T. Stedman, on Facebook. And so then one time I was just chatting and I said, oh, hey, because of the nature of the job that I have, the radio show on X96, I said, oh, yeah, how's the show been? Well, I've been gone. I was on vacation. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I don't know how I know you then. How... And she said, I don't know how I know you either. And I said, well, how did you end up on my Facebook? Because I also at that time didn't add anyone either. Uh-huh. I only confirmed the people who asked me.
You're so popular.
I know, seriously. And so I accepted her as a friend. And then she said, well, I don't know you. And I said, well, I think that you should.
I remember you telling me that story. And you were saying, I met this girl. She is so hot. We're going out. I'm excited.
We're
going to
get married. She then deleted me shortly thereafter. I sent a friend request to her, and she said no. I sent a wife request to her, and she said yes. So we got married.
Which awesome. I think kind of shows how sometimes people can meet online just by default. The Facebook dates I've gone on, I've been on like 2 or 3, have been not because I'm looking for someone to date, but it really has just randomly happened. And then when someone asks, how'd you meet? You're like, well, weird. I guess we met online, but you know, it doesn't feel like it. You see someone that has a mutual friend, and someone writes you, and then... they're saying, well, I think we've met, and da-da-da, and then, hey, let's go to lunch.
It feels like there is certainly a stigmatism for people that are our age, being 30s, kind of mid-30s, not past 40, because I think that then they're all right with online dating. And people younger, 25 and younger, seem to have no problem with online dating. But there's this weird kind of 25 to 40 where we had part of our life without the internet and part of it with. So that's what hopefully this article going back to this.
I would totally agree with that. Younger generation is fine with it. People that are older are fine. And our little decade of people feel really awkward. And it shouldn't be that way. I feel awkward still. Anyway, go ahead.
Brianna Stewart says this. We're going to go over 20 points. Broken up into 4 categories as to why you should online date and embrace it, full on embrace it. She uses a funny phrase here that I like in this era of nice to tweet you. I don't know. I thought that was funny. So I figured I'd share that with you. Okay, right. Here are 20 points. Number one, the first group is the pros. People always say, where have all the good men and the women gone? Quote, it is becoming increasingly difficult for LDS people to meet a potential spouse once they're out of college, says Elisa Snell, a dating coach and marriage and family therapist here in Utah.
Okay.
You're just not in front of the masses, which translates to fewer opportunities. Holly says, you get to the point, especially in her age group, she's 36, when you feel like you've met every eligible person in your circle. Says Coleman. She met her husband on eHarmony and married him in 2011. Going online opens up possibilities to meet more people. So, opens up possibilities, number one. Professionally speaking, do you need another perk, Lauren? You're still thinking about it? The type of crowd that online dating attracts is typically an older and more successful crowd of people. This type of dating draws in the people of the professional world. Not to mention the online world can give you a buffer in case the relationship fizzles. Yet another pro.
I have a friend that is on Match, and that's what she told me. She said, yeah, I pay a monthly fee. It's not that expensive, but I figure if other people are paying, they're serious about it, and they're looking, and they're probably typically great people. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
You know?
You know?
I get you.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
I am flushing what you're literally dumping. No? Too much? All
yeah,
right.
A little too
I'm
much.
Not editing that out. I will stand on this and say I am not editing that comment out. Number three, girl power. Do you have hesitations about approaching men?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't like to. If I'm interested in them, I won't.
That makes a lot of sense. Whew, 31.
Not really.
I just don't understand when girls don't dignify you with a response. You know, no thanks, no thank you, I'm not interested.
I'll dignify with a response.
But a lot of girls don't, and that bugs me. It's like, so why are you on here? You know, why, you know, it's like.
Oh, well, which site?
Well, any site.
I think any time. If someone says, hey, I think it might be interesting to get to know you.
So you're saying that all those Middle Eastern men that are writing me on Facebook, I should take the time and say,
right.
No,
yes.
Thanks? Whatever.
Well,
no.
Maybe like a normal guy like me who's not so creepy, but I don't know. I mean,
I'm just.
I just don't get it, you know. So,
or
you know.
Sometimes with LDS, like maybe on those dating sites. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I can give you that, but I'm not a part. I'm on LDS LinkUp, which is free, and
uh-huh.
It's you literally are linked up with friends. I have some married friends on there too.
Yeah.
And then Facebook. When I get a random, I would like to get to know you more. I've looked at your pictures from somebody. No, I'm not gonna respond. I'm just gonna block them. They're both silent. I would add another girl here to back me up.
Why can't you just be like, meh?
Well, no, that sounds fine, you know, somebody's just checking your profile out on Facebook. But I think LinkUp is there for a reason right now. It's kind of evolved into that
it,
dating
okay,
website.
LinkUp has evolved, but I guess there's some days where I log into that because I'm like, I need a date this Friday. There's other times I log into it for no other reason except because a friend's like, hey, I sent you a friend request and you haven't accepted. I log in. I really am not on there to get those 20 emails at the moment, and
right.
I just log right off. And so right. I just really am not there to do that.
I guess all the popular girls get like 20 and they're like, I'm going to pick one to respond to.
No, it's cool. Get into it. Let's hear it.
No, it's fine, you know, but I just think it's funny because, you know, sometimes they do respond and then you go the next step. You're like, all right, she responded. I'm going to send her something back. And then it fizzles out, you know. But I can understand the Facebook. I think that would be creepy because Facebook is like general.
A whole different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But LinkUp, I think, you know, why are girls on there, you know? And when girls on their profile say, I want to meet a nice guy or I want to do
sure,
this.
Sure, then they are on there to date.
And then they don't dignify you with that response. You're just like, then you're full of it because, you know, you're saying something that's contrary to what you say on your profile. And me and my buddy, we
Rob
all,
and I aren't jaded at all, by the way.
No, we're not.
No, I think it's very real.
Me and my buddy.
No, we just are experts at dating. That's all. Go ahead.
We're constantly looking at these profiles of girls on LinkUp. That are
looking. Okay.
Casually looking or like.
Well, the girls that are saying like, I'm looking for this. I want a guy who does this. Don't send me a quick note because girls hate quick notes.
What's a quick note for those who
I
don't
won't
know?
Respond to those
what's
at
a quick
all.
Note? Like, hey, pal.
Period.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Nice picture.
It means that they're not going to take the time to actually write out words
a
they
question.
Think of.
Yeah.
They're going to pick an already pre-made message and send you like.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Nice smile.
So it's something the website offers. You can just send a quick note. Hey, pal.
Yes, exactly.
Good game. Love
exactly.
your testimony. That kind of thing.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And
you do not respond to those.
And sometimes, you know, so you send a message to the girl and nothing happens or they're all like, you know, you get nothing back. And so what we like to do to those type of girls who hate quick notes, who won't dignify us with a response, we berate them with quick notes.
Yeah. Take this. Hey, you. What's up, pal? Going good going, sport.
That's like your picture.
That's why I get so many quick notes. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah. No. But it's just funny because you see on LinkUp these girls that they want all these things that they're looking for, and then you try and ask them out or, you know, strike up a conversation. We're not even asking you out. We're just striking up a conversation, and they won't even dignify you with a response, you know?
What questions are you asking, though? Because I had a guy write me, and he asked me how much makeup I wore.
No.
And I'm like, that's not striking up a conversation.
Well,
dude, how much you weigh when you step on a scale?
I said a question back, and I said, why are you asking? And he said, you didn't answer my question.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. You know,
but you answered him back.
And maybe this will give you insight to why some girls don't answer all emails, because we get a lot of people, and you just don't want to have to.
I can understand that because
email,
you know,
everyone back.
All the hot ones are getting all those responses all the time, and so I mean, let's say I look at your profile and I say, oh, she went to East High School. Let's say something clever about East High School. Hey, are you in All This Together? Or something like that. And then you're like,
oh, I get it.
See, now it took you a little while.
It's like slow.
Right.
It's like, what?
He is clever.
Maybe I'll dignify him with a response. Or no, he's too clever for his own good.
I would, for that reason. Right. I'd write you back.
See, so that's what I try to do.
Well, I'd write you back because I know you.
But. Right, but.
And I wouldn't date you. Let's clear the air right now.
All right.
Well, we have known each other for about 15 years. I never have, so. Yeah. We're probably.
Yeah, we're good with that.
That's not where the end of this is going. I'm going to hook you two up. Boy, that wouldn't be weird, right?
No.
Yeah, not at all.
Bishop is on its way.
Yeah. Number three on this list from Brianna says, girl power. If you have the hesitations about approaching the men, online settings can give you that extra boost of confidence. Chloe in New York, and a Mormon, says that she thinks she's actually better at dating online.
I know a Chloe in New York that's Mormon.
It could very well be her. Is she 33?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She says, when I date online, I'm confident, whereas in normal single situations, I can get insecure and be reduced to a high school junior. I think it's the control, and I love having a say in who I meet and who I date.
That's her. Anyway, keep going.
Number four is a variety show. One of the best attributes of online dating we've already covered is that there's so many different sites. Everyone has a different personality. I've heard things about Match.com that I won't share on this.
Have you gone to my blog recently and seen my friends?
Where would I find that?
At laurenruthie.blogspot.com, a Match.com email. And since I've put it up, it's gotten about 500 hits, and people are fascinated about this.
So if you want to hear about or read about that, go to laurenruthie.blogspot.com.
And she was kind enough to respond to this fellow that she wasn't interested in, and got quite the response back.
Yeah, I've read that one, and the guy was pretty he berated her for being Mormon, and he's like, you know, come on, why don't you
and then at the end
step
he's like,
out of your box and
take a chance.
Yeah,
swore a few times and then said so there are swear words in it, just point that out, and then at the end said, I'll still hang out with you, but you're gonna have to humble yourself.
Jeez.
And speaking of variety show, my link up profile name is Polish Magician.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
So ladies.
So ladies. That was awesomely blatant.
No,
that was great. That was awesomely blatant. LDS link up Polish Magician there.
They're going to look it up.
Are we friends on there?
I think we are.
Okay. What's yours, Lauren?
I'm not going to say.
Come on. You don't have to.
I'll
quick note spam you later. I'm not on there. Spam, spam, spam.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? What's up, pal? Good game. Love your testimony.
Love
Great
your
talk.
Picture.
What?
Love your picture.
Oh, love your picture. Number five, clicking couple simply said online dating can work. We all know people, as we've discussed, that have had it work out. So now it goes into a different category. It says the profile. So here's some tips.
All right.
You want to date online, but you don't want a picture on your profile.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I want to date.
It's like the guy in the mask on The Bachelorette. He actually thought that he was going to be loved for who he was.
You're going to love
just
my
weird,
personality.
And you're just creepy.
Yeah.
That's what a profile without a picture does. It makes you scary.
And I think the thing is, it's attraction. You got to be attracted to the person that you're going to end up with, right?
Or just know that they're real and they're not out to do anything else.
Yeah, and that's the other problem. You get a lot of spammers on there, a lot of people. I, on Match.com, this girl contacted me from Russia. I don't think she was a girl. I think it was a guy. And I just kept the conversation going just to see where
it
was going.
This is great.
And she's
she's writing back and I'm writing.
I'm a Polish magician. She's Russian.
I knew she was fake, but I kept it going because it was just funny to see. She's like, oh, I miss you so much. I'm so in love with you. I need to buy my plane ticket to the United States. All you have to do is send $500 to this number. You know, I'm like, all right, I'm totally there. Why haven't you sent the money yet?
That has happened. There was an LDS. It was in the paper. Woman was. It was on LDS LinkUp. Was scammed. She out of her whole life savings.
Yeah, and it happens. A friend, my sister-in-law's friend, she lives in Switzerland and she met a guy from Africa. That's your first problem.
Yeah.
And
whoa.
Well, you know, the African Nigerian princes. You
okay.
Know, the
yeah.
scammers.
Oh, princes.
Let's just make it very clear, because I also want to go back just real quickly when Lauren said something about the Middle Eastern, and then Rob quickly said creepy.
There is.
He doesn't think that Middle Eastern people are creepy.
I'm glad you're saying that, because no, there is a. They must have some scam thing over there, because they're riding from the Middle East.
Right. So the
Nigerian prince thing is popular too, and the Middle East location is popular for these scams, saying I live here in this area. So that's what we're saying.
So everyone, settle down.
Yes.
Move along.
Well, it's a huge industry in Africa where these people are, you know, scamming people online. Anyway, she was taken out of her life savings too, and it was just – and the guy's like, I want to marry you. They were going to get married. Or so she thought. So it was pretty sad.
On another side, which is really weird, because this was actually kind of controversial, but for gay Mormons to meet people.
Right.
And in Idaho, I knew of this gay man that had met someone on the site from Africa. Seemed too good to be true.
Yes. Usually
is. Right. And he's like, let's meet in Las Vegas. You can bring your friend. I'll buy you a rental house. I'll give them a rental house. We'll all go. Then let's go to Disneyland. No, but it happened. Yeah. And they all went and had a good time. And it was wonderful. And he paid for everything.
Wow.
And so, so maybe a Russian woman.
So if you're willing to risk it, it might just pay off in the end.
So maybe my Russian woman's still waiting for me.
Yeah. Rob. I guess that wouldn't be Russian. Rob.
It was a little odd. Yeah, I didn't believe it. I was there like before the planning. They're like, well, we're going to go. We don't believe. I was like,
that just
really?
Sketchy.
Yeah, and I was a reporter then, and so I'm like really like.
I'm ready for the story.
Right.
Can I get your last
like,
words before you go?
Oh, they had a blast. They had a blast. They took their friends, their little kids. There's two separate rental houses.
Oh, my
for
gosh.
Everyone. Yeah, it was interesting.
So you got to have a picture, all right? You guys both have that now.
Yes.
You got to tell the truth on your profile. You have to be truthful.
You have to have a flattering picture,
says Anderson.
Too.
But not so much that when you...
Well, let me talk about this. Girls, this is one thing. If you are on Match.com or on Alias LinkUp, the pictures I hate the most are self-portraits in the bathroom. Okay, girls?
With the mirror?
Yes,
with
your
cell phone. Don't say girls. Men are doing it just as much.
I know.
People.
Well, I know. I
mean,
but Rob's not looking for men, so it's all right for him to say girls.
But yeah, it bugs me. And you know, they have like 10 pictures of them taking self-portraits. You know, they're looking for the most flattering angles, I imagine. But in my sense, I was like, do you ever leave the house? Do you ever do things outside?
Friends?
Do you have friends who can take pictures of you doing things?
Something? No, I don't, Rob. I don't. I want you to date me, Rob.
All right.
Okay, he's like, yeah, sure. I'm willing to give it a chance. It may mean Disneyland.
Right. Anyway, sorry.
Continuing
with the...
So there was actually a professional study done at X University. I really don't know where it was done, but there was a study. It was in the paper.
I'm betting
about
there's going to be statistics here that we can't back up either. Go ahead.
This is. Statistics that people that take pictures of themselves with their phone in the mirror are of a lower social class.
That's Lauren Ruthie. blogspot.com. Okay.
It was something I read somewhere sometime.
I can see it.
That's credible. I'm not sure where it is in the scriptures.
And that's when I learned I was of a lower social class.
But there's that part where Jesus says it would never be easy, but it'd be worth it. I'm not sure where it is, but I know it's in the scriptures there somewhere.
Next to that footprints poem.
Yeah, it's right before the footprints poem. Jeez.
So the next one is be truthful, right?
Yeah, be truthful. Be truthful about who you are. You don't have to tell all your deepest and darkest secrets. Yeah.
I was in prison from this day to this.
But
yeah,
don't misrepresent yourself. And I'll say that even in, you know, being a married person for the short time that I have, one of the things that I am so thankful that I did in the time that we were dating was I said, this is who I am. I enjoy these things. I do these things. I love you. I'll do all of these things for you. But if what you want is this
A, B,
person,
C, and D.
that person is not me, and yeah. I don't have a problem with you not dating me and not marrying me or anything like
but
that.
But this is who I am.
But be very aware and very certain that this is who I am. So not just online dating. That's a tip to go all throughout creation.
Creation.
Did you like that? Be honest with who you are. So that's number two. We got to move on.
Yeah, of course.
Cast a spell is what number three is. Spelling errors are distracting.
Yeah, I always check. I always check my grammar and everything, you know. Once again, if I had bad spelling and took pictures of myself in the mirror,
yeah,
I think I'd be in that lower social class.
Or can I just say, if you want a response, just don't shorten everything. Like, your is not you are.
No.
You is not you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're tapping on your phone.
The long and short of it is the next one. It says you should spend serious time putting together your profile, but it shouldn't take potential suitors serious time to read it. Your profile shouldn't be longer than about three paragraphs. Are you writing this down?
Am I? I don't know. You can
you'll
see
just
me.
You'll just go back and listen to it. If it takes too long to get to know you at first glance, people won't get to know you, period.
I've tried different methods of being clever and funny just to see if it would get somebody to dignify me or, like, you know, look at my profile. And so I've done it different ways. I've done mini bios, or I've just done funny excerpts.
Do you ever do third person? Rob is a very great catch. Rob likes...
Yeah, it sounds like a bio that yeah. you'd find in, like, the Playbill. Rob is thrilled to be on Match.com in this upcoming performance of 2011.
Rob will play the lower-class citizen on this particular profile. Rob loves Middle Eastern men. No.
I'd also like to note that my sister-in-law's from the Middle East, so really, that meant nothing.
Yeah. Number five.
I'm just saying. Just to clarify one more time why I brought that up.
Number five, it says, be refreshing. When your profile isn't working, like Rob talked about, refresh it, change it, edit your profile often. If your introduction isn't sparking someone interest, try expressing yourself.
Is this an article just about online dating or
way.
Dating in general?
This is just online dating. You need to do it. You're not meeting anyone anywhere else. That's the point of this.
I am.
Not.
Guess where I'm? Never mind.
A date? Right. Okay.
No, well, I guess what? I did get asked out for tonight, and guess what? I'm not going because I have something else going on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Wiener Wednesday.
I don't...
Wow.
It's a Mormon thing. It's a Mormon thing because it's an alliteration. That I know.
It's exactly. You're right on.
In our old singles ward that Richie and I went to, we
and Rob,
had
you could
that.
Come.
Oh, I can?
Yeah, it's a good time.
Well, we got a bachelor's party up
there. Bras are supplied.
Yeah, Rob and I, in our old singles ward, we made all sorts of alliteration jokes. We went through the alphabet and went, you know, so that there was...
What is it with Mormons and alliterations? It's true.
So there's... what was our...
There was one like chocolate and something.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. Thank you for alliterations. Oh, it reminds me. Remind me about the Linger Longer stuff later on. I want to tell you about something exciting coming to theculturalhall.com.
Okay. Yeah. Tonight will be movies and making out.
Right. Right. But you never see that activity in a singles ward.
Yeah.
Now we go into a different group. The Safety Net is this group. When you set a time to meet, shout it from the rooftops, not your identifiable rooftop. Meet in a public place and don't share addresses with each other. Tell a few people where you're going and what time you expect to be home. And that phone number you give out, here's a wake-up call. Be sure your telephone number is unlisted so it can't be tracked to an address.
Shout it from the rooftops on Facebook. Going on a Match.com date tonight.
We will be here from 7 to 8:30.
If I don't make it home, call the police.
Name of the game is number two. When it comes to giving out names, keep it short, as in first names only. Someone with sincere intentions won't have a problem with that. If a person keeps on pressing you for more specific information, that's a big warning sign.
Creep.
No kidding around is number three. If you're a single parent, keep those kids a mystery. Your profile will typically say whether or not you have kids, but beyond that, don't go into details about your children until you're in an actual relationship.
I agree with that.
Also, don't post pictures of your kids on your profile, which is one of the things I have the biggest deal with on Facebook. Most of all, is people who put pictures of their kids. There's a reason why they don't put kids' pictures on the news. There's a reason why they don't do a lot of that stuff, and it's because there's creepy people out there who can be like, kid, I love kids. creepy. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Number four is clean sweep. If the conversation rapidly turns intimate or inappropriate, nix the contact just as quickly. So if it's like, hey, how are you? I'm great. You want to make out? That would be a perfect example of...
In the particular blog post, the guy said, hey, do you want to go to my cabin?
Speaking about the one you can find at laurenruthie.blogspot.com.
The conversation started. The guy wanted to take her to her... To his cabin.
To a cabin. His friend's cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
And she responded with a thanks but no thanks. I have to be safe on these sites.
Yep.
He didn't like it too much, which confirmed why she should have been careful.
Yep.
Okay, a couple other ones and we'll get this thing done. Tried and trusted. Trust your feeling. Trust your gut. That will always...
And that is why I'm single right there.
That will always help you... We're back with the third block of the Cultural Hall. Again, find us online, theculturalhall.com, Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. And all right, they talked me into it in the little break that we took there. And I believe that I could tell you both, Rob and Lauren, why it is that you're not married.
And let me just say, this is my favorite thing for married people to do. Because once someone gets married, whether they were 20 or 30 or 40, they know.
They have all the perspective in the world.
People. So go ahead. I'm excited. Well, and, you know, I think there's something to that, really. I was talking to someone like that. I mean, maybe it's because they know something. They figured something out, and they got married.
I didn't see it until after I got married. But this is my brief story, and I'll tell you about it, and then I'll tell you about each of you.
Okay.
My brief story. I had dated a lot of people, hundreds. And that's not being exaggerative.
Nope.
I dated hundreds of people.
Some of them at the same time.
Right. Well, that's how I was able to get it done. And, you know, some were great and it just seemed like timing wasn't right. There were some that, you know, were certifiably crazy at this point, you know.
Some help put furniture together for you.
Yeah.
Take naps with you in the basement.
Hey, you know what? You don't need to point out specific people, but sure. Yes, there were several people who came in and out of my life. It wasn't until I had almost like a rock bottom of the barrel experience where it felt like I was going crazy. This was June of now, let me think, 2 years ago? Yeah, it would have been June of 2009 when I felt like I'd made so many big mistakes and I just didn't know where I was going. I made a pilgrimage to Chicago where I took some classes with Second City. And it was while I was out there able to remove myself from everything that I had done wrong, or been involved with, or, people that I had dated and spent time with and everything like that. It wasn't until I was able to remove myself from all of that. Go out, be in Chicago, do my own thing. Everything was strictly for me. I wasn't worried about anyone else. It was very self-absorbed, very self-oriented. It wasn't until that time, reaching bottom at that time, and then being able to build myself up from that time, there is no way that I could have been married before that. And it was dark, and it was lonely, and I couldn't figure out what I wanted. But while I was out there, I stayed with a really great friend, and a member of the church's name is Stevie. Let me sleep on his couch, and his cat peed in my luggage. That's a story for a different time, but
yeah.
But that's how dark the times were. I was out there, you know. I thought, what do I want for my life? What am I going to do? What are my goals? And I had 5 weeks when I was able to be in Chicago, where I started to live and to do exactly what I wanted. I came back home. I was on a date with my wife within the week, and we got married less than a year later.
Oh, you mean it wasn't 2 months?
Yeah, no, it wasn't 2 months.
Oh, okay.
That's a shout out to R. Dustin Harding. But here is genuinely, and it's not a big elaborate thing. What it genuinely is, I feel knowing Rob very well and knowing Lauren very well. It's not anything about looks. It's not anything about who you are as people. You guys are both, amazing members of the church, great friends who are willing to do anything for anyone. But neither of you are at a point in your life where you could add someone else to your life. And that's it.
Letting it soak in.
I don't know about that. I got my own place.
I know. And admittedly, I didn't have my own place. But the debate that I would have, and I don't want to get into a bunch of details about it because it's not anyone else's business. But I think that that's a thing that for a large majority, and that's not everyone, a large majority is they just don't have it. They don't have their life figured out to the point that they could add someone else into their life.
Which is why I'm going to Wiener Wednesday instead of a date tonight.
Right.
Where's Wiener Wednesdays by?
Some guy's backyard. I'll Sweet. Send you the invite.
That sounds shady.
I know. I mean, the sound of it.
A wonderful young man's backyard.
I'm going to have a
wonderful priesthood holder's backyard.
I'm going to have one at my house called Hot Dog Hotties.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on...
On Thursday.
But I know what you're talking about, Richie. You know, you have to prepare your life to get somebody into it. You know, like in college, I was ready to get married. And then I graduated from college and then went back into the single life. And it's just like, you know, you get so used to being single and having your own place, your own things, doing your own routine. It's so hard to say, all right, well, I got to shake that all up now and bring somebody in.
Sure. But I think sometimes when the right person comes around,
yeah,
you, whether you've made time or not, if the right person comes, that's when you are able to shake things up and move things around. I've dated guys where I wasn't planning on dating at that time. And sure, it took a while, but when I realized, oh, I really do want to date them, then you figure it out.
Yeah, but that's just my point of view.
And then you break up and move on.
Right, and we're all looking for the right person. But at the same time, we're also very scared of, like, shaking our lives up because we've
It gets harder when you get older.
Yeah, we've established a routine. We established our lives as being a single person, and it's nice.
Yeah.
We don't know anything else.
On a positive side, though, it might get harder when you get older, but it also becomes more meaningful and more powerful when you get older.
Sure.
You don't have a crush on every single person that you meet. And when you have a crush, it's more like, oh, my heart hurts, and I really need them, you know?
Right.
And when you find somebody... Even though there might be fewer options when you're older because people really go along their individual paths after age 18 and are all going different directions. So although there might be fewer choices for you, when you find someone that meets and you find someone that you're like, wow, we haven't met until we've both been in our 30s. But look, we've been going down the same path for this long. And we were just all of a sudden it's perfect. Like I think it becomes even more powerful and more special when you meet someone. And I think, and Richie, you got married when you were a little bit older too. I think you cherish that person more because you've been single. You don't hit your midlife crisis and think, what would have happened if I hadn't got married at 20 or was this the right person for me? You, I think, are more grateful. You cherish them and you find someone that is thoroughly compatible with you when you wait a little bit longer.
And, in my line of business, being in the wedding business, I see a lot of weddings. I do probably two or three weddings. Well, maybe about 10 a month. You know, I see a lot of weddings. And it's interesting for me doing, you know, the younger kids, you know, maybe the BYU kids or something like that. And, you know, and they just got married. You know, they got engaged within 2 months, you know.
Artist and Harding.
Right, exactly. And it's interesting to see the difference between those couples and then other couples that have maybe even been divorced before or going through their second wedding. And I went to like a second wedding, you know, I DJed a second wedding a couple weeks ago and it's like these people got it right the second time around and they were just so in love. And so I think maybe
learning from their mistakes.
Right. And you know, we've been single and fortunately I haven't been divorced, but you know, I'm going to cherish it so much more because I've been able to live my life, find who I am as a person. And I also see that a lot is people get married so young, they don't find out who they really are. And they married the wrong person because they grew up and then they're like, wait a second, this isn't me. I'm this person now. Mm-hmm. And it's a tragedy sometimes.
But not always.
Not always.
And that's what's so fascinating about it is that there are lots of people.
Who got married at 19 and they're so in love. Right. Some of the best marriages. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's just different for different people. And I've actually enjoyed dating in my late 20s and 30s than I ever did in my early 20s. I've been grateful for this time that I've had to date. It's more fun.
Amen.
It's like, never mind.
And I what say is it these like? Things.
Well, it's like a TV show that a lot of LDS people don't watch, so I felt I shouldn't compare it.
Oh, good. I'm glad I asked then. Thank
what
you.
What was the show?
Yeah, what show is it?
It's with Carrie Bradshaw. And
no. Sex in the City, really?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And most guys don't watch it.
There's a scene in that show where all the girls that are friends from the city go to a baby shower.
Richie's knocking his head on the desk right now.
I'll finish. Go to a baby shower and you have out in the suburbs, and all the moms gather on one side and are talking mommy blog talk. Yeah. And then all of Carrie and her friends are on the other side, and they're like Hills and their designer clothes, just like, I don't know what we're doing here. And that's kind of how high school baby showers have become, really. There's this like division between the ones that have gotten married. But keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Lauren, I have a comment. You know, I just always think, don't you love it being single whenever you see somebody you haven't seen in like 7 years and they're like, oh, how you doing? What's going on with your life? And it's like the same. You're like, I'm not married. Still working the same. You know, it's like, so do you have kids? Are you married? You know, it's just like, it's always kind of disappointing because it's like that's like the one thing that they expect you to hear from you, you know?
Sure, that there's some sort of feedback. I got to the point right before I met my wife where when people would ask me if I had kids, I'm like, I'm sure I do somewhere.
My favorite.
My favorite
is when married people want to set you up and they're like, yeah. I know a guy, he's single.
Yeah.
So tell me about him. He's great. He's single. He's active in the church.
You're single and active in the church.
This has got to be it. People don't realize that we actually have a big social circle of people that include both Rob Ed and myself. And, you know.
Because you're single and he's single. You guys are perfect. I figured you should go out.
I know a guy.
All right. I got to get into some of this other stuff. We're going to run out of time. That second block went way too long, like it always does. The second block of church always goes way too long. The second block of the culture hall, too long. Now we're going to have to rush the articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right. So here we go. Here's some articles of news. Mormon bishop dragged 10 feet after being a Good Samaritan. This from the Salt Lake Tribune. A Good Samaritan who stopped to help a motorist stopped in the middle of an intersection Saturday night, ended up being dragged several feet, police reported. Edwin Tanner saw the car stalled in the middle of the intersection at 2300 East, 3300 South here in Utah. He opened the driver's side door and found a 57-year-old man passed out in the driver's seat. The car was still running, and the man's foot was on the gas pedal. Other bystanders got out of their cars and helped to push the car as Tanner put the car in neutral and began to steer the vehicle. The man then awoke suddenly and appeared to panic, said Detective Shane Manwaring of the Unified Police Department. The man slammed his foot on the accelerator, but the car didn't move because it was in neutral. But before Tanner was able to remove himself from the car, the man put the car in drive and drove off. He ended up dragging Tanner, Bishop Tanner, about 10 feet before he was able to extract himself from the car. The man ended up going up, and they were able to stop him and everything, but Bishop Tanner taken to St. Mark's Hospital and checked out, and he seems to be all right. So there you go.
Few
injuries. Way to go, Bishop Tanner.
Way to go,
He was
Bishop.
Able to carry out his duties as a bishop for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints this last Sunday.
Way to go. Denver Post. Allegation involving a Denver Christian school highlights a religious issue. A parent complained that Denver Christian schools would not enroll her son because he attends a Mormon church. The private Christian school's administration officer said that the boy was not enrolled because he held a view of Christianity incompatible with the school's teachings. But then it goes on to say that they have 151 different Christian denominations in the school.
But not Mormon.
So, interesting. They didn't really come to a conclusion. They just went on to then explain the Mitt Romney campaign. But, yeah, really interesting.
From the University of Utah here, this also from the Salt Lake Tribune, something's missing from the University of Utah's social scene, at least for Mormons.
Really?
Institute classes? No, they're still there. Singles wards? Nope. They've been revamped, but they're still around, too. It's the LDS fraternities and sororities. Yep. They're not there.
Yeah.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has disbanded its fraternities and sororities at the U, putting an end to two organizations, Sigma Gamma Chi and Lambda Delta Sigma, that began before the world had ever heard of sunscreen, World War II, and gasoline prices higher than 30 cents a gallon. Why did they get rid of these?
Yeah, why?
Thank you, Rob. Tell me.
I was wondering, actually.
Because the Salt Lake City-based faith says the activities that long defined those clubs are better placed in the hands of local congregations, overseen by spiritual leaders such as bishops and stake presidents.
Yeah.
It's a historic change, one that may be hard to swallow for students such as Kristen Ward, who forged friendships, strengthened faith, and even coaxed an occasional Brigham Young University cougar out for ice cream as part of an LDS-centered social club. that has existed on the campus since 1936. I generally don't have a hard time accepting anything that the church puts out, Ward says, but the sorority thing changed my life. I cried.
Yeah, I think it's sad.
Earlier this year, the LDS Church announced a massive restructuring of its young adult congregations. Instead of offering student-only wards, and as we've talked about, there's now the single adult wards, and there's no more social clubs. So the decision marked an abrupt end for the U's Sigma Gamma Chi and Lambda Delta Sigma, which had survived a 1999 church reorganization that discontinued every other LDS-sponsored fraternity and sorority in the nation. In the end, Sigma Gamma Chi had 12 chapters, and Lambda Delta Sigma had 17. And now, gone.
Yeah, I think it was an awesome... They did a really good job up there, and I used to DJ their dances.
That's why you're mad.
I am. Well, that too.
I was in a fraternity, or a sorority.
Not the LDS one.
Yeah, the LDS one.
You were?
Yeah, I dropped out of the Greek one and joined the LDS one.
Well, I don't get it. They get rid of the student wards. They get rid of, you know, landed the... The
Sigma Gamma Chi and Lambda Delta Sigma.
And now they're getting rid of activities committees? I mean, like, what do they
want
us to do?
See, I totally get it. I think it makes total sense to me.
Well, if you guys would just get married, we wouldn't have to do it.
Well, that's why they're canceling it. There was a big old, right before these were all canceled, there was a big old article about one of the fraternities asking why Mormon men aren't getting married. And so they visited an LDSSA fraternity up at the U, and all these guys saying, we don't want to get married yet. And they were given like a little cheer in the photograph, and people are like, oh boy, no wonder they're not getting married. And I'm sure that was like, you know what? Let's just get rid of these little activities.
The next thing to go is linger longers.
Yeah, munch and mingles.
They already are gone in mid singles wards. So totally, like,
break the fast.
Against the
rules.
No, linger longers. They're holding illegal ones across the street in the park.
I've been to that one.
You're not going over there, are you?
I've gotten the underground flyers.
Go over there to the spacious field.
I'm going to the linger longer.
That's kind of how it is. There's a division. People think, no.
Hold to the red, brother!
I will not go because the brethren have said no and other people are like,
I will not go and do.
Let's linger even longer. Okay. Mormons threatened to sue in Mission, Texas after permit to build church is denied.
Tell me.
Mormon church members have given the city an ultimatum. Let us build a chapel on our land or we'll see you in court. The city has about 40 days to reverse a decision that barred two local Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints congregations from building a church on the corner of Bryan Road and Two Mile Line. If it doesn't, attorneys for the church will file a lawsuit against the city. The church's request for a conditional use permit to build a chapel on the property has been denied twice. 9 of the 12 landowners within 200 feet of the property signed a petition against the church. And because of the petition, 4 out of 5 city council members had to vote on the zoning law. But both times the permit went before the council, only 3 members, not 4, voted in favor. Then it goes on to talk about... says, I respect the decision made by the council and I respect the opposition that was expressed, said some guy named Garza.
Yeah, Garza. He's a good guy.
Well, sort of lost myself. Well, anyway, they bought the land, actually. The bishop said, I read earlier, the bishop said that he had a good feeling about the land. And as far as where all the 550 families live within the ward, he felt that this land was the best use. Bought the land from a police officer. The police officer knew what they were planning to do, or the owner of the land, and thought it was great. And then all of a sudden, they're saying now it's kind of against, you know, religious freedom.
Now the city's backed out of it. Won't let them do it.
That's like, lame. And interestingly, though, the article never stated why people were against the building of the chapel.
Well, they just
not
don't
once.
Like Mormons because we're a cult.
Yeah.
Well, they should build a bar there.
We're not a cult. For those listening.
I did Google Mormon cult the other day. Just like you told me on that first podcast.
Uh-huh.
And then I found the kitten
poodles,
cult.
Or the poodle coat.
Yeah, poodle cult.
Cult.
Yeah,
cult.
I joined.
Go ahead, kilt.
All right, 3 poodle more things kilt. Of news, and then we got to get out of here. We got to go. I've got a pot roast waiting in the oven.
I got Jell-O.
Never heard that one before. Jell-O. Did you know that? Jell-O. Is it green?
Carrots.
Well, yes, I got
carrots? Oh, my God.
I got Jell-O firming up in the refrigerator.
He's going to dip in some fry sauce and
gross.
Eat a drink of root beer. Okay, go ahead.
Dad's root beer, though. Or mug. Mug
Hires.
Root beer.
There you go.
Or Hires, yeah, Utah original. Okay, 3 things. Here we go. Fashion show. Go tonight if you're anywhere near Everett, Washington. Not that you'll hear this until tomorrow. But Wednesday night, big fashion show featuring modest yet stylish clothes at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Snohomish. That's why I decided to keep this story. They're going to do a big thing with the Snohomish, Machias, and Clearview Wards, demonstrating the modest dress that can be stylish, fashionable, and fun.
Yay.
They plan to offer back-to-school, sporty, and formal attire that reveals nothing but intelligence, confidence, and respect for female and male's bodies. Outfits will be provided by Monique's Boutique and Beehive House Bridal. I guess it is just women. Monique's Boutique and Beehive House Bridal in Snohomish. Also, Northwest Hair Academy in Everett is participating. It's a fashion show. All right.
Yay.
This one, I just need the headline and it explains it all. Elder Jeffrey Holland, LDS Church, desperately needs more senior missionaries. The biggest problem is financial, but they've put a cap on housing, hoping to get more people, more senior missionaries out there. So all those seniors listening to the cultural hall today, go serve a mission.
Yeah, or tell your grandpa.
Yeah, get rid of your grandparents. I really think you should go. No, seriously, go.
Go, Grandpa.
Can I stay in your house while you're gone? Okay.
There you go.
Perfect.
It's the best.
Okay, two other things. One, if you're going to leave the church... thank you. If you're going to leave the church, just be quiet about it. That's what I want you to do. Things like this upset me. This is a story Lauren sent me. Mormon missionary launches orgy.com.
All right.
Former Mormon missionary turned entrepreneur launches orgy.com. Don't go to the website, and there won't be a link at ours. This revolutionary website is designed to permanently change the way that people think about group sex and swinging. So way to go.
I did send this to you, and I didn't forward the – I didn't never go to the link. So, yeah. I remember saying, if this guy's still LDS, which I hope he isn't, you know, I was a little stressed.
It should say former.
So it didn't say ever that he was former in the news release.
And founded by Utah native and former Mormon missionary Kyle Foote.
There you go.
No, but former Mormon missionary. I'm a former Mormon missionary.
Right. I'm sure.
But he's definitely not practicing.
I'm sure that if he's not a member now, he will be not a member soon. And then finally, I wanted to share this with you. And I was searching through some websites, and we get different ads for, you know, a book or a movie that will come out. And I think that this is a great idea. So please take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. Don't turn back and take it with a grain of salt or turn into a pillar of salt.
Right.
I want you to just listen to what I'm saying. This book is it's called The Testimony Glove.
Oh.
And what it is, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this story. You have it's a glove that you put on, and then there's on the different fingers there are it's kind of like a felt board on your hand.
Oh, right.
And so there's little things to help you have the five parts of your testimony.
All right. It's kind of like Hamburger
remember.
Helper?
Yeah. Only bigger and not animated.
Oh, okay.
I love Hamburger Helper.
It's good stuff.
So this book comes with a glove, and there are pictures in it that represent Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon, the Temple, and then our current prophet, President Monson.
That's a good way to teach a
and
testimony.
So, yeah, you have the glove, and you go with each finger. It's like, okay, I'm bearing my testimony of my
pillars.
Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Yeah, of his son, Jesus Christ, of the Book of Mormon, of prophets, of Joseph Smith, and of prophets today. And I think it's great. It's a great way to teach. It's a great way to
teach
someone.
I think it's a good way to teach it.
So they can see it, right? I think it's awesome. What I don't really like, and I will post a picture of this on theculturalhall.com. There is something about the picture.
You gotta see this picture
that is on the front of this book that just kind of strikes me as a little creepy.
Yeah,
it's a granddaughter, presumably a granddaughter, sitting on.
I don't know if I like the whole subject of the book. I don't know if I like the idea of a testimony glove.
The girl sitting on her grandfather's lap, and I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I am trying to read into something that isn't there. I would appreciate people's feedback after they've listened to this podcast.
Go to theculturalhall.com,
check out the picture, and maybe I'm trying to make something up that isn't there. But I'll be interested to see, and I'll share that with you next week.
So I guess teaching little kids is that. Okay, but I think that I don't know. Some people, I think some people in the church need to realize that even though they don't have a testimony of all five things,
sure,
that they still have a testimony. So that's where I'm kind of having issue with that whole, you have a complete testimony is A, B, C, D, E.
But,
I'm not really a big fan of that. But, I think that people's testimonies are individual and they
But the nice thing about that is that there's not little pictures in the glove to tell the story of the death-defying story that's 20 minutes long that you share in
testimony
meeting.
It's one of the fingers,
and
every fiber of my being.
Yeah, right. And then the next one is beyond a shadow of a doubt.
I know.
So go to theculturehall.
I love you all.
.com. Yeah. I love my family. Check it out. Tell me what you think. I'd be interested to know if I'm just reading into something or trying to see something that isn't there.
It I just think you are.
Struck
I don't
me
get it.
As a little creepy. That's it. Next week on the Cultural Hall, we have, it just blanked out on me. We have, why can't I think of who it is?
Fictionist?
No.
Or, Eldridge.
No, no, no.
Nope.
All right, that'll do it for this week. Next week on the Cultural Hall, we have a special guest with us from KSL, which is a church-owned media outlet. We have the guys from the Nightside Project, Ethan Millard and Alex Keery. They're going to be talking to us not only about their story and where they come from, but what it's like to be in the media business, doing their show, and being working for a company that's owned by the church. So
and going from host to guest.
Yeah, so we'll put them in the hot seat next week. Until then, we hope that this podcast will nourish and strengthen your body,
and that you'll take what you've heard today into your daily lives,
and you'll get home safely when the time comes.
And we'll be saving a seat for you
on the back row
of the Cultural Hall.